In the name of the triune God, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. In the beginning of this sermon, we will quieten ourselves in mutual prayers on behalf of intercession. Many brothers and sisters and brothers have brought their petitions for prayers to the hearts of God's children. God, help us to trust in this, that you hear our prayers. Grandparents ask for prayers on behalf of their unbelieving children and their spouses, that they would be able to receive the grace of repentance, and that they would themselves would be preserved in faith. A daughter asks for relief for her mother's longtime challenges with her health and power to carry the pain and the sorrow, and also that she could trust in the care of God and have strength in their faith, and that her mother would experience life to be significant and valuable. A sister asked for prayers on behalf of her younger sister in a very challenging life situation, that the matters would be arranged for the best, and that the family could experience blessing and protection in life as well as joy of faith. A close person asks that her sister's daughters would be able to come back into God's kingdom. Mothers asks for help in their financial situations and strength during her illnesses, and that she would be able to become better. The heavenly mother thanks the Heavenly Father that she has found good adoptive families for her children. He shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. A mother asks for prayers on behalf of her difficulties in life. As recently has gone through the difficulties of divorce. And that the children that God would help and give the children understanding. And she asks for assistance for the financial situations, and that she would be able to trust in the Heavenly Father's guidance, and that she would be able to remain in faith. The mother asks for help in the difficulties that have happened after a divorce, and the problem of their loneliness and alcohol problems. She asks that her husband and children would receive the grace of repentance, and that God would guide some believing friends and believing escorts to her. A mother and father and siblings are praying on behalf of their brother's broken family, that their brother and the brother's children could remain in faith, and that the spouse would be able to come back into God's kingdom and the family could be together. A believing mother prays for strength in the everyday trials, in the painful matters of everyday life, she would get help, and that her children would be preserved in faith, and that there would be financial help, because there is a continuous worry over this, how they would get along, and that there would be hope that God would hear their prayer and would help. Take away my bitter mind and give me contentment and trust. Two youth ask for prayers on behalf of all the believing youth, that they would feel the secure and joy of this faith and trust, and that they would see the value of God's kingdom in the midst of this world. We ask together for power for the a father of a family who has difficulties with heart problems, and the trust for the whole family, that they would be able to trust God and his will. God, hear the prayers of your children. Amen. For the introduction to this sermon, I'll read from the 15th chapter of Luke, from verses 11 through 32. And these words are heard in Jesus' name. And he said, "A certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me.' And he divided them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with great riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of the country, and he sent him into the fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, 'How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants.' And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Bring forth the best robes and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' And they began to be merry. Now his elder son was in the field, and as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, 'Thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound.' And he was angry and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he answering said to his father, 'Lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment, and yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, and hast killed for him the fatted calf.' And he said unto him, 'Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. Amen. This was a long text, but it was an entirety, and I didn't know how to shorten it, and perhaps there isn't the need to do that. This is a familiar portion to us, the parable of the prodigal son and his brother. In the beginning of this chapter, which I didn't read, Jesus's opponents came to him and asked him that he didn't reject the company of sinners. In chapter 2, it says this, "And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them." And then Jesus, "For this reason, Jesus answered to them," telling them three different parables of the lost and being found. The previous one is this, about the 100 sheep, and if one became lost. And the second one was when this woman had 10 silver coins and she lost one, and how she did great work to find the lost money. And then this parable of the prodigal son. What is in question here? This parable also is a parable of God's kingdom. And Jesus, in his own time, was here amongst man, in the form of man. He was man, but at the same time, he was God. He was a master storyteller. And he, in his teachings to his disciples, and also when he was teaching the throngs, he used a lot of parables, and he used his masterful skills of telling, and how he would explain how the grace of God to man, and so that man would understand, and he would tell them about live a real life in the Bible. There are four different Gospels, and in these Gospels, there are 40 different parables, and most of them are in the Gospel of Matthew and in the Gospel of Luke. Here, there were two sons. There was the younger and the older. The younger son, as we heard or read, said to his father, "Give me my portion of the goods that falleth to me." And he divided unto them his living. And when we think, and as we know, this is a parable of God's kingdom, what does it mean that the son left away from home? He went to far off to a foreign land, a strange land. Are there nowadays these parable sons and prodigal sons and prodigal daughters who have left from the father's house? At the hearing of this word of God, when we are gathered here in the hearing of his word, we know this, what kind of life, a time we live, especially this time. The world pulls us towards it. The enticements of the world entice towards them. We ask from ourselves, why do so many youth and young families give up this faith? Why do even older people give up this faith? These kind of thoughts we have, probably many of us have had, and many of us have close ones. Who have left from the Father's house. If we think of our temporal home and our young become older and a time comes when they leave home, this is a very sensitive moment when it makes us, we have a very mixed feelings and sad feelings when they leave home. But as temporal mothers and fathers, we know this, that we have the possibility of seeing them. It doesn't have to be a long time and we can see them. But nevertheless, it is this kind of a longing, a sensitive, maybe even sometimes a sorrowful feeling when children go away from home. But in this parable, it tells of this prodigal son who left God's kingdom. We don't know, even to our dear ones, that will we be able to see them return to this Father's house, to God's kingdom. Certainly may we all have this prayer of heart or mind that it could happen so, or would happen. And in this matter also, we can trust and secure ourselves and trust in his grace and trust God in his grace, as it is the service motto reminds us. And it pays for us to remember in this situation that for God everything is possible. In that time where our skills as people and wisdom ends, the possibilities of God begin. We can, and it pays for us to pray, turn to the Heavenly Father to in prayer that he would remind us and our dear ones, that he would call them still back to his Father's house. Our hopes and prayers are this, that those dear ones and all those who have left from this house, that it would go in the same way as it happened to this prodigal son. Here it tells us, when this boy had lost everything, there came a great famine, and he had to suffer lackings and hunger. What happened? This boy came to that situation. He had difficulties in life. He did not get help from those friends from that world where he was. Then he remembered the father's house, there was always food. There was always help. That sowed seed had remained, which each one of us, as an older one, older dear one, have been planting in our own dear children's hearts. And so in services in Sunday school and day circle, Bible class, that this sowing work of God's kingdom, we don't know that what kind of fruit it will carry. Will it carry such fruit that this would comes out in this parable? But he remembered it was good to be in the Father's house. And it says here, then the boy thought to himself, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? And what is this food that is in the Father's house in God's kingdom, which is offered to everyone? It is in it, this living gospel. And it is the most important matter. The core matter of this is that we can believe our sins forgiven in Jesus' name and atonement blood. This the Son remembered, that in my Father's house, there is always food. We remember that happening in the Bible, one of Jesus's miracles, when with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, he fed 5,000 men or people. He fed a great throng, 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. And when Jesus blessed this bread and the fish and gave it to the disciples, there were 12 disciples, and he divided them in the hands of the disciples, and it probably wasn't a big amount for each disciple. And the disciples probably thought that this food will not be near enough for everyone. But how did it go? The Bible says that when the disciples had shared out the food, everyone was able to eat to contentment. Everyone received enough. And what happened then after this? That leftovers, there were 12 baskets. It is a very incomprehensible matter. But this is the way of God's kingdom. Here we are nourished. Here we receive the gospel. The food of the gospel to eat. And here in the kingdom of God, there is this living source of spring of water that bubbles forth, where we can again and again and again drink from for our thirst. And we know that there's a great warmth outside now, but we don't, for a long time, can go very long without this thirst, because we would become dry up. But if we don't get food for a long time, we would become weak. And what would happen? We would die, even in a temporal sense. In the same way, this journey of faith, if we aren't able to drink from this spring, this eternal spring, which flows here in God's kingdom from the heart of one believer to another, we cannot eat this food which the disciples shared out to this great throng. Our faith would then happen, which is the most important matter in our life, as we heard in many sermons already, which is true, that this faith is the most important matter in our lives. If we don't receive nourishment, then our faith would wane and die away. And for this reason, it is important that we go to services and we gather where other believers are. And at services, it's important, as we have heard here at these services, and it's nice that we can see our friends and relatives and close ones who live far away from where we live, and we can see them many times at these services. This is important, but the most important matter at these services is that we can hear this living Word of God, this living gospel, and we get food and drink, and we receive strength and nourishment and refreshment for our own faith. But as it's also as important for these services is that prodigal sons and daughters, that they would still have the possibility to return to the Father's home, that they could eat and drink this same food and drink of which we live as believers. This prodigal son went himself, and he thought in this way and said that, no, now I will go to my father and I will say, Father, I have sinned against you, against heaven and against you. Then what happened? God did his work in this young man in the same way as the Father does this work today. This faith is from the beginning to the end, the work of God. God reminded this prodigal son that your father's home there, it's good to be. And this boy was obedient to the voice of God. But then he thought that I am no longer worthy to be called thy son, he said to his father. He thought that if he could become there as a worker, a servant, that would be enough. Then it comes to mind a certain happening that happened a long time ago. And that we would be preserved with this same mind as this young girl who asked, when I am old, is heaven already full? The mother and father weren't able to answer this, but this little girl, with her childlike faith, answered this through her understanding, and that is such a matter that I thought that I would like to be preserved in my own mind, that at least there would be room in the entryway and I could take my own stool with me. This is this childlike faith. This faith is not a childish faith, but is it a childlike faith? And little children who many times very genuinely say in their words and deeds, they remind of this, that we would not grow in ourselves too large, that we would be this portion of a child of God would be preserved in us. But this son probably was afraid when he approached home. But what happened? It says when the boy was still far off, his father saw him and became moved, and he ran towards his son and embraced him and kissed him. And this was the love of the Father. And so it is with the temporal Father, but the heavenly Father's love is much greater. The boy didn't ask from this son. Neither does the Father ask from people that want to believe their sins forgiven. That the Father didn't ask, what did you do? He didn't all start to quiz him and didn't give him any conditions. Then you can come home. But here, the Father said, and continues, after his son had said that, I have sinned against heaven and sinned against you, and I am no longer worthy to be called thy son. But the Father said to his servant, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. And bring hither the fatted calf and kill it. And what do we offer to people who come and they are repentant of their sins, or remorseful of their sins, someone who has been in unbelief? It, which is told here, still happens today and always in God's kingdom. We put on the best clothing. This robe of righteousness, when a person receives his sins forgiven in Jesus' name and atonement blood, and when he wants to believe it, all previous things remain away. He doesn't clean your clothes and then come in, but give him this celebratory clothing, this robe of righteousness. And this we have received, dear brothers and sisters. And we can be dressed in this and live. This son received the grace of repentance. And what was this repentance? It is a change of mind, a heart. It is distress over sin. It is converted and turning in a different, new direction. And here in this parable of the prodigal son, the boy decided there that I will return. He made a complete reversal, and he wanted to return. And God's kingdom is a miraculous kingdom of grace and forgiveness, where great sins even can be once forgiven. This kingdom of God, which is the gospel, which is preached here, and is functions as it is, offers that you can believe all your sins and doubts and temptations forgiven in Jesus' name and blood. And when this person believes that, his sins are forgiven on earth as well as in heaven. And in the Father's house, there's enough food for this prodigal son and the prodigal daughters and to all people. This son of this prodigal son, he was the one who showed great love for his sons. That this is the mind that we want to have, that when our dear friends, who the enemy of the soul has been able to deceive and left the Father's house and left the kingdom of God, we don't drive anyone away from God's kingdom that you have to leave, but a person leaves by their own decisions. But in the same way, no one can be brought back to God's kingdom by force, and we cannot force anybody to believe. It is completely voluntary. but it is a personal matter. But at the same time, it comes through the Holy Spirit, a mutual to all who believe. It doesn't say more precisely about this celebration when it began, but then this older son who is talked of here and how he experienced his situation. He was in the field, and when he heard that there was a celebration and dancing, and he asked what had happened, and the servant told him what had happened. And it wouldn't it have seemed that the older brother would have been happy, but no, he wasn't. He said in this way, and he became angry and did not want to go in. But the father came in and entreated him. And this older brother said, answering to, "Lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I any time thy commandment, and yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends." Did it happen to this older brother that he had Balion earned and worked in this work of God's kingdom, that it is not possible that this younger brother, who has wasted all his belongings and now father arranges a celebration, could this happen to us nowadays? It is possible. We are people. In many duties of God's kingdom, there are these kinds of dangers that it could happen like it did to this older brother. He may have grown in himself, and it may start to seem that I am important, and forget this, that in God's kingdom is important to me. I am not so important, but God's kingdom is important to me. When this father tells his son that he hadn't received anything, and it pays for us all to remember, even at these services and afterwards, as the father answers, and he answering said to his, but as soon as thy, and he said unto him, "Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine." That everything that was just in the father's house is his. And so we can also, dear brothers and sisters, through faith, we can in God's kingdom, all this goodness which there is, we can experience this and have experienced in our own life the great blessings of God. And what is the greatest blessing of God? As we have talked and heard through many brothers, and always in services, we are reminded of this, that this matter of faith, that this blessing is seen as the greatest blessing that I can be believing, that until this moment, I have been protected in faith. This is the greatest blessing, and for this we can be thankful. And at this moment, in this father's house, we are calling these prodigal sons and daughters. And this of this core matter, that you can believe these sins forgiven. This is not given off to certain people, but this belongs to everyone. Anyone who hears this speech, you can believe this for your own selves. You can believe all your sins forgiven in Jesus' name and atonement blood. And this kind of person who takes this in faith believes this in faith, you can return to God's kingdom and return as the prodigal son back to this kingdom. And I want to bring these good greetings to you, brother and sister, the best greetings which a person can have, that at this moment you can believe all your sins forgiven. You can all believe all your sins forgiven in Jesus' name and atonement blood, all your sins forgiven. It pays to believe, it pays to endeavor. Because after this life, we have a great reward. And I want to tell you a short happening from the Africa, the power of this faith. And how it brings joys to the heart of people who have been able to believe their sins forgiven. How the joy will come to this person who didn't even know how to seek it or to long for it. We were in Africa on a mission trip. There were young people in the hearing of God's word. And there was an old grandmother who sat there, and this man said that this lady asked that could she come to services, and she wanted to hear what was spoken here, and they said truly you can, and she came in. It was during a monsoon season, and we were sitting under a roof, and we were almost in each other's laps. It was so full that we would hear each other because the thunder was so loud. And this grandmother sat in the very front, in the midst of the service speech. This person who had never heard the living word of God asked, can I believe my sins forgiven? Is it possible? And when we blessed her with this great gospel of grace that you can believe all your sins forgiven in Jesus' name and atonement blood. Brothers and sisters, I can never forget that moment, what happened. This grandmother, she had this kind of African scarf around her head. She pulled it off her head and waved it around and thanked God. This is the grace of God. This is the power of God, the power of the gospel. This grandmother rejoiced of her faith that she had come back into God's kingdom. And this grandmother, I could say, I don't know her age, but at this moment, she has reached the rest of the blessed. She has reached the destination. Don't you, dear brother and sister, want to reach the destination to the heavenly home? In Jesus' name and blood, all sins are forgiven. And so we can remain securely believing and trusting the grace of God. Can I also believe my sins forgiven? So I want to believe together with you other believers. And so we say securely in Jesus' name, amen.